Are you feeling stressed? Do you need some relaxation?
Hey guys, welcome back to the podcast. Episode 3, we're going to talk about stress. I feel like most of you are doing midterms, writing assignments. Some of us get a break, some of us go straight into exams. So I was thinking we should just talk about stress. I invited my friend Agne over. She's lovely. You guys are going to love her. And we talk about stress, causes of stress, what it is, and how to solve it. So take a moment for yourself while you're doing the dishes, maybe while you're cooking, while you're organizing your clothes, or even if you're in the morning and you don't want to be on your phone too much, plug it in and listen and yeah, try to relax a little bit. So yeah, I hope you get to take something away from this as always. And I'll catch you on the next one. Bye.
It's getting serious.
I also want to feel like I want to try to speak in a soothing voice. And I feel like, when you listen to podcasts, you really want to be soothed. Like, I listen to your podcast
Okay, are you ready?
yes.
I think you should tell people what you study and like make it really fancy, you
What I
know?
study.
Yeah.
So I study biomedical sciences, with some slight diversions, but more or less,
And what do you know about stress from that field?
Well, scary stuff. But essentially, stress is a huge inducer of like imbalance in your body, right? Like it's to us, it sometimes seems like it's just an emotion, but our body has a physiological response to stress. So your hormone, there's a hormone imbalance that occurs. Hormones in general have like a huge cycle. Your whole body is a huge cycle. So if part of your system is in a disbalance, so then you start escaping
If you
homeostasis.
want Yeah. What did you just call me?
But essentially, what it means is that if one of your pathways is triggered by stress, right, in a disbalance, the rest of your pathways fall as well. So essentially, what it means is your whole body is fucked. I'm sorry, but that's the best thing I can use to describe it because stress, really does deteriorate your body. So then,
I think it did to mine. It does to mine right now.
And it's only been like, okay, so properly stressed, I've probably been for like 4 years. Like, I mean, as in like experiencing adult stress, not like constantly, but like.
No, I feel like now it's more intense too, especially with like uni, but it's all these other things that are outside of uni too. Like, I don't feel like it's just an academic problem. Like, I feel like it's now everywhere.
But also like I have friends not in Amsterdam, but like friends at back home. I'm from Lithuania. Shout out to all the Lithuanians out there. But I had some friends who legit developed like serious diseases when they were 18, 19 because of stress. And they were like some of them were genetic, but like they kind of induced the risk factors, right? And I saw people be properly ill because of stress, and that hits you like a train.
That is awful.
Yeah, when you're a student and you see someone like just the same as you,
And you see someone who's that young too.
yeah, and your body essentially like they have to go through all these treatments, and for the rest of their life, like they're not going to be in good health,
Yeah.
But I think I took a diversion. What was your question again?
No, that was
Oh,
perfect
okay.
because I feel like this is what we have to realize, that there is this connection between emotion and body. Like there is, this really strong connection that you have in.
As an animal, okay, so stress also, interesting fact. Stress in animals, essentially, animals feel stress for a short period of time when they have to turn on all of their mechanisms in order to, for example, run away from a predator,
Yeah.
right? That's their response. So it's meant to be kind of induced for a short amount of time, and actually short-term stress, like actually short-term stress is healthy for you. You're supposed to stress a little bit about little things along your day, but okay, so now imagine our long-term stress. We're in a like a let's say a person is in a constant state of stress for a month, right? That means
Years.
yeah, let's keep it positive. But that means that essentially you as a person are in a state of feeling hunted and fighting for your survival constantly holding for a month, for dear life. Right? Yeah. So, and physiologically what that means, that all of your systems are heightened because you are in a survival instinct, like fight or flight, kind of like that, right? Mm-hmm. Because of stress. So that means you're in a constant state, your body's in a constant state of like, I need to survive this, turn off all inessential systems, you know? Mm-hmm. Like that to your body, to your mind, to your everything, I don't know, like that just baffles me when I think about it, you know?
I think that's a good point. Okay. So I wrote down basically, because I want to talk about this more, because earlier we said like it's actually, if you analyze it, it's frightening, like it becomes frightening. And I just googled like a few things, and like the physical symptoms include like when you're stressed out are aches and pains, chest pain or feeling like your heart is racing, and then exhaustion or trouble sleeping, which I have full ass sleep insomnia.
Oh man.
Headaches, dizziness or shaking, high blood pressure, muscle tension, jaw clenching, stomach or digestive problems. I have that too. Mm-hmm. Trouble having sex, weak immune system. So that's like just the physical.
Yeah.
And I think that this is even brief.
Yeah. And this is more like a short-term symptom kind of thing that you're listing now, right?
Yeah.
Because long-term stress, oh boy. Oh, like that's connected to cancer, cardiovascular disease, and so on. So
what I found interesting is like my brother's so young, and I can see it in him already. When did your stress management and the unhealthy mechanisms, how did they start? Or do you remember a time when they started?
I think, like, as far as I can remember, I think I was a very chill child for, like, my primary school years. And that's when it all was good. But as soon as I went into middle school, you know, the whole puberty thing, the whole social dynamic thing, and that started like my initial stress started not because of academics or school, mm-hmm. but it started because of social pressures. Okay. So it was rooted in social anxiety essentially.
Okay.
Which was very interesting because it kind of, but from there it started going into academics.
Okay.
So then I started, at first it would be like, oh, like I'm not, like I'm stressed that I don't get invited to like this like hangout or like whatever, right? But then it went into like, I'm stressed because I'm not good enough for like my school or something, you know? Mm-hmm. And then it continued going like that. But it started probably like when I was around 13, 12 years old, yeah. which is, you know, quite young.
Yeah.
And then you get like waves. So when I was still living with my family, it was better because mm-hmm. my parents would be like, oh, this is like, don't do this, this is bullshit, like you go, let's go to our summer house, you know, let's go to nature, whatever, whatever. And that would divert you, like that would kind of like, but when you're alone, yeah. you have to deal with yourself, and that's when it gets a little bit tricky.
Yeah, that's what I feel like too, is like you don't have much of a person now that can kind of calm you down, like you have to be that person for yourself.
Yeah,
and exactly. That is really hard.
So you're the person that's stressed, but you're also you also have to be the person that's not stressed and like conscious and able to deal with that at the same time, right?
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Okay, next question. I wrote a lot.
That's good.
So do you have any body sensations when you're stressed out?
I think I go on autopilot a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of forget to actually be present, like I dissociate a lot. So if I'm very, very stressed, we talked about
it. We love dissociating.
But yeah, like I, for example, I sit in my university, I'm like studying, mm-hmm. but then at some point I get a little moment of clarity, realizing that for the past 2 hours, like I have no idea what I was doing, like not really like didn't know what I was doing, but as in like I wasn't really consciously doing anything. So it's like I'm talking to someone, but it's kind of like automated answers. So like someone kind of asks me something, I answer. Mm-hmm. Like, or like, I have to study, I'm just looking at my screen, I'm like pretending to do something, but you're actually not doing anything. So I think those kind of like, it's kind of, you go on this like autopiloted mode because you can't really handle it. But then also like I have quite shitty eating habits. Can I swear on this?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, this is actually really interesting. I just remembered, I learned in one of my classes about like a futile cycle. Mm-hmm. And what it basically means is that you have a cycle that keeps on going and you don't have a mechanism to stop it at some point, but it's a cycle that has a complete loop and there's no way of stopping it, right? And it's like a matter, like it's a biochemical thing, but it applies to life too.
No, I feel like I'm always stuck in like cycles. Exactly, like it's right? always the same.
So I think, but for me, I think when we talk about skin especially, I think it's more like I get stressed and then my skin breaks out, but then because my skin breaks out, I get stressed even more, mm-hmm. and then it just keeps on going.
So I want to bring this up because I didn't know this, but you explained to me why people tend to, for example, eat a lot when they're stressed out. Because it's, okay, wait, if I remember it correctly, it's because it makes you feel, like, you usually eat when you feel safe. Like, animals eat when they feel safe.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it gives you that comfort when you're stressed out, because it kind of creates this, like, safety net for you.
Yeah. I would want to reference this, but I don't remember where I read this. What I took from it was as well, like, you know, like, the connection to feeling safe in the animal kingdom is eating, because you can only do that when you're safe.
Yeah.
So, I mean, for me as a person, I've noticed that too. Whenever I'm stressed, like, I, not like crazy stressed, but I crave food, because that's the only way you can sit down. You, like, kind of ground yourself, and it's one of those activities that you have to do in order to sustain yourself, right? So then it kind of, like, gives a certain illusion of relief of stress. But I don't think it actually helps personally. I mean, you know, like, it just kind of, you kind of stuff your face and then you're like, okay, let's go back to stress now, you know?
I think that's the issue that I've heard a lot of people talk about is, like, they'll say, oh, I do this activity, like, I will go on a walk, or I will eat, or whatever it may be. But then afterwards, they just come back to the stress. Like, it's not like they come back with a clearer mind. It's almost like they just pause and then it presses play again.
Like, the last point you made also, like, that's why at first I was saying that I don't really believe in these, like, traditional coping mechanisms in per se.
Yeah.
Because I feel like, obviously, like, they're good mechanisms, but what people start doing with them, they take, it's another checklist. They take it and they're like, okay, I'm gonna exercise, I'm gonna go for a walk, I'm gonna drink this much water. Okay, now I'm supposed to not be stressed. And that kind of just invalidates your feelings, because you're still gonna be stressed. Because you're not actually coping. You're just signing off another checklist, you know?
Yeah. I think this is why it's, like, I feel like people know that stress is bad for you, but then they just, like, keep going. And it makes sense, because we live in a world where you kind of have to, like, it's expected of you. But I feel like we should kind of focus more, but we'll get back on that later. But we should focus more on, like, actively de-stressing, in the sense of figuring out how to deal with it. Because I heard someone say that, by just going through all your problems, like, if you have a checklist of all your problems and you solve them, new problems will come.
Yeah.
The only thing that you need to change as a person is kind of how you view your problems, or how you view that stress. And I think that is the hard part.
Yeah.
Because what I do is like, oh, I'm stressed, so I'm just gonna sit down and do the work. And then afterwards, I still feel like shit. And it doesn't stop. I think, especially, like, in academia, like, you don't have that break. It keeps on piling up.
Yeah. Completely agree. I mean, I think also you have to understand that stress isn't a short-term problem to solve. Like, it isn't, it's okay, it's different. Like, being, having a problem and solving it, of course, that's going to give you joy, whatever, right? But stress isn't that. Stress is induced not because of a single problem. Stress is induced because of a constant state of your mind, the way you approach your problems and the way you approach your life, right? So then if you try to solve something, it's just going to take extra energy, but it isn't going to actually affect your stress levels, you know? At least I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
Because, like, if you're stressing, you're stressing. And then you need to find a way to make sure that you are able to view life differently. Because, as you said, problems keep on coming, you know?
I also think there's, like, an addiction to stress.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I ask myself all the time, who would I be without this? Like, and I think that is also, like, it becomes a part of your identity.
Have you ever had moments when you don't feel stressed? Like, for a little bit, right?
Yeah, I get bored.
Exactly. That's the, I'm sorry, that's the scariest thing.
That's so scary. Like, that's an addiction. That's a straight up addiction.
It is. So, like, I sometimes get, like, a month of, like, okay, I had, like, a few months this year when I was properly not stressed. And I was like, oh my God, there's something wrong with me. Like, honestly, have I lost faith in, like, myself? Have
I felt, like, muted.
Yeah, like, I felt like I don't have any motivation to do anything. I thought I was lazy because I was, like, not stressfully working.
Yeah.
That's how crazy it gets. Like, we're so used to stress these days, you know?
I think we're taught to worry all the time. And I think, like, anxiety is kind of a form of stress, right? Like, and they're intertwined with each other. And what I started doing is because I can't, like, I actually can't fucking sleep, and I actually have a huge relaxation issue, in the sense of, like, if I sit down, like, one, I feel, like, clenching in my body. Like, I don't know if you can, but, like, sometimes when I lie down, I feel clenched.
Like, your muscles tense up?
Mm-hmm. And I started doing meditation.
I mean, meditation, though. That's the one thing I don't say is bullshit. I really do think that's nice.
But what I feel like is we have to make clear to people that it's, they have to actively, like, de-stress. Like, I feel like if we're taught to worry all the time, we should also be taught how to relax. And I think relaxation is just a muscle. Like, it's a muscle that you can train and it becomes bigger.
You know what just came to my mind when you were saying that? Also, like, so as you said that, like, we have to offer solutions to stress. And what I thought about is, like, actually, it's so funny how our society, whenever you go, like, oh, like, I'm stressed, be like, don't be stressed. Or, like, don't, people kind of induce this idea that you shouldn't get stressed in the first place, right? Mm-hmm. And okay, fair enough if you can do that. But in reality, who the fuck can do that, you know?
Literally.
Like, our lives.
He's like, wait, never mind.
Yeah. Oh, right. I'm not going to get stressed next time. Like, I'll remember your little tip, you know? That's just not the way it is. And, like, you can't catch your, like, of course, if you work on it, you can work on not being stressed. But you do get stressed. And I feel like it's really important to also have these mechanisms or, like, a certain idea or a way to escape this, like, cycle of the really, really annoying emotions that tense up when you are stressed, you know?
By the way, did you guys ever talk about how you break out of the cycle? Like, the cycle that you were talking about? The loop?
Okay, so in...
Is there a way?
Are you asking for hope?
I'm asking for a friend.
So, metabolic biochemistry. That's where the futile cycle idea comes from, right?
Okay.
In those cycles, they really don't happen in human bodies. And the reason is because one of the components they have is usually an inhibitor to the cycle, right? Which means that part of your cycle stops your cycle.
Uh-huh.
Just stop and think about it for a second. This is getting deep now.
Yeah.
So if we apply this to our everyday lives, right?
Yeah.
Part of my stress cycle can also be what gets me out of my stress cycle. And it has to be that way because any other way wouldn't work. Because
out of something if you're outside of
exactly.
it?
Exactly. So that's the problem with cycles. You go like, okay, this is a cycle. There's no way to escape it. Ha, there is. You just make, you find a coping mechanism that is already in your cycle and you intercept it, right? The way you want to intercept your super, super stressful cycles is to find a coping mechanism that's within the cycle already, right? Which means that you don't have this dilemma of, oh, the cycle just is like never ending. I don't have a way to intercept it. No, you sit down and you find a way, you find a thing or an activity or a feeling that's already in your cycle and you address that one thing. And then you're able to find a way to break your cycle from within your cycle. I can give you an example, right?
Okay.
So let's say I'm stressed for an exam. Because I'm stressed, my skin started breaking out too. So started having like bad eating habits.
Mm-hmm.
And so my digestion is worse. Then I'm, less active. Therefore, I'm sleeping worse. And there's this whole cycle. And that induces more stress because I'm more tired. I feel like I'm not going to get prepared. You know, all of the usuals.
Yeah.
All right. And then I try to find something within that cycle that doesn't seem as daunting to me as everything else.
Mm-hmm.
So usually I intercept my eating.
Okay.
The way I do that is doesn't matter how stressed I am, especially the more stressed I am, the nicer of a dinner I make.
That is a good way.
Yeah. So I come back home and I know I'm super stressed. I'm super behind. But as a rule, I will make good dinner.
Yeah.
And then, first of all, the action of cooking already takes my mind off of things. But then...
Very meditative.
Exactly. And then you sit down and then I still have to eat anyway. So it's within my cycle. I sit down, but I have a super nice meal.
Mm-hmm.
And while having that nice meal, I might still be stressed, but one of my little points on my cycle gets intercepted.
Yeah.
And that might not solve all of my problems, but it does make it easier. And then the next day I might feel a little bit better because I had such a nice dinner. I can talk to a friend, which is going to make my anxiousness go down.
Yeah.
You know? Or then maybe I can take a walk. And then that kind of like comes from within the cycle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So treat yourself with kindness.
Yes.
Try to find a habit that you already have in your toxic cycle. And then try to make that habit a good habit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly that.
I love that. Okay. I found the podcast that I would recommend because her name is Marissa Peer. And she does guided meditations. Mm-hmm. Like she does it for everything. Like healthy skin, for better orgasms. Like,
both of which I need.
You know, like, just get into it. Well, this is the other thing. It's like, okay, so when you're really, really stressed out, one of the things was, like, compulsive sex. Mm. And I found that really interesting because I think a lot of people do, like, mm-hmm. a way of de-stressing is masturbating, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you can also take that too far. Like, you can masturbate for a long time and then you're like, oh, shit, I feel like shit. Because it does something to your hormonally. Yeah. Like, your testosterone peaks up and then it goes down and, like, all this stuff.
Exactly.
But anyways,
especially if you go for, like, multiple rounds at once and, like...
You feel like shit after.
Exactly.
Like, actually.
Because I feel like sometimes also then you can, like, give up without getting, like, reaching an orgasm at mm-hmm. some point. And then that... Oh, my God. You do not want to speak to me after that.
And I also wanted to pull up... I have so many ideas.
So many resources.
I did so much. I posted like an Instagram story today.
I'm very proud of you.
And thank you. And I asked people, okay, I was asking them if they're feeling stressed. Oh. 88% said yes.
I wish I was surprised.
But we live in a society.
Yeah.
And then I asked how they cope with stress. Ooh. And their answers were very, very interesting. So, okay, let's see. I let it consume me was one of the answers. Suck it up was another answer. I cry.
Fair enough.
Which, honestly, crying, I feel like, is such a good outlet for stress. What do you think?
See, I don't know. I'm not a big crier.
Okay.
But, like...
Me neither.
But, like...
I've gotten better, though.
Yeah, anyways. Yeah. No, like, I've been trying to, like, cry more, because it is a good outlet, but I also think, like... I can't get myself to... Like, I personally can't.
I think if you have the tears for it, cry. Yeah, but go if for you it. Don't... Sorry.
Yeah.
No solutions for you. Play with clay.
Oh, that is a good one.
That's a
pottery
one.
Is so meditative. I love pottery.
It's so good. It's again, I think it's so much about mindfulness, because I think once you ground yourself in the present, and this is something that you then learn over time, but once you realize, oh, this is stress, you have to realize it's outside of you. It's not inside.
Exactly.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. You kind of dissociate in a good way, you know what I mean? Like,
taking a step back.
Exactly. You kind of look at it from a different perspective, and it sounds all super cliche, but it's true. If you're able to take a breath and just kind of dissociate the stress, I'm doing hand gestures right now, dissociate the stress from your mind, then you're able to see things more clearly.
Yeah. And I think this is why people dissociate too, is like, because they need that, like, break from their life.
Yeah, and they're not doing it consciously, so unconsciously their mind is like, take a fucking break.
Right? Fuck. Okay, what else do we have? Try to stay in the sun as much as possible. Well, that's hard if you live in the fucking Netherlands. Like,
although this week, though.
This week was great.
I'm loving it.
And I think it's going to be great.
Honestly. Like,
no, beautiful.
If this is what the Netherlands are going to be like, I'm down.
I'm down for the horrible winters because... Yeah. And they're not horrible in the sense of it's super cold. It's just, like, windy and the clouds hover.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, they're, like, so close to you.
Yeah. All right, diverse.
By watching my comfort movies and talking to friends and family, also good.
That's very... I feel like support systems are one of my most important mechanisms.
Although I read, like... Comfort movies, I think, is good because you don't have to pay a lot of attention to know what's going on. Because comfort movies, you know.
Yeah.
But I read somewhere that, like, sometimes that's even too much. Like, even reading. Like, reading can, like, not stress me out, but it's definitely, like... If you have, a wound, it feels like you're rubbing on that wound a little bit, even if it's, like, a gentle cleanse. Does that make sense?
Kind of makes sense, yeah. I get what you're saying. And I think, like... What I used to do as well, I don't know, this is so many diversions, but I'm still going to speak.
No, honestly.
Okay. So what I did a lot in the past few years that I've gotten a lot better at this year is I used to compulsively watch Netflix. But it was...
I get that, actually.
Yeah. And I used to watch comfort shows, and I used to, like, say to myself that, oh, this is because I just need to, like, get my mind off of things. I need to escape my life. Mm-hmm. I need to just, like, relax. And my parents would also, I still lived at home at that point. I did that too. And they would be like, oh, you watch so much Netflix. And I'd be like, yeah, but this is my way of relaxing. It's not.
It's not.
Let me just tell you right there. Like, it's a way to dissociate again, right? Mm-hmm. You kind of just, you use something as a distraction. Like, TikTok also is the same thing.
Social media. Which also adds on to your stress.
Exactly.
Like, let's be, like, you sit on your phone and you think you're relaxing. You're not. You're getting a like so much information thrown in your face.
Exactly. You, what you want to do is you want to actually have no stimulus. You want to sit down, and that sounds scary, and it is.
It is. That is the problem. It is so fucking scary because it's kind of like facing the wave too. In a way, I don't know how to describe it. It's like
you're, it feels like it. It feels okay. It seems like it's gonna be that, but it usually isn't. That's the funny part. If you're able to actually be like, okay, I'm gonna sit down with myself, then you're usually able to understand that it's not that scary. You're just sitting there, and then you're able to talk to yourself in a not in a creepy way, but you know, you're able to kind of like bring back the communication with your mind and your body.
Yeah.
What more did people say?
Let's see. Cigarettes, not a good way. Not a good way. Yeah,
guilty. Sorry. What it does for me, like what I use it for now as well, in general, like, don't laugh at me. But I use it as a little moment to myself, right? It's really hard to sometimes take a moment. But when, like, I use nicotine as a way of, like, it's a terrible habit. Please don't, no one take advice. Like, this is not a good advice. But,
well, the advice is good, though, in itself. Take a little moment.
Yeah, exactly. So it kind of helps me, in a way, to take a moment. So I usually go, I often go to smoke alone, and I just sit down, and I take those 5 to 7 minutes to just sit, you know, and just smoke. And you're just there.
Okay. Reading and need 1 day a week for myself. Me time. That
is very good.
Okay, I take a nap or do online shopping. Honestly, online shopping is kind of a cool way to cope like if you have the resources.
But again, I think it, like, you have to be careful with it. Same with like comfort movies, right? To some extent, those can be really nice, but they can become also like a way to escape life, escape stress in the short term, which is usually a bad thing because you just kind of put it off, you know?
Yeah.
So, but that can be a nice way to do it.
I think it's very much about balance, you know, not being
everything like
that is the issue though. Balance is hard. Like, have you ever tried balancing something? Like, if you actually think about the physical thing of having to balance something, it's hard. It's difficult. It's work.
Yeah, like last year I was having a really tough like mental health year, and
that should be like a whole ass
I kept on people kept on saying to me, you just have to find the right balance. I started getting so annoyed at that. And I really, like, when people say that, I still get a little bit triggered. Because I'm like, I get it. But what the fuck does that mean? Like,
it's, you know, so hard.
Exactly. Like, the right balance. And I'm starting to realize now that there's no right balance. It's just a certain balance. It's like you're trying to sustain your life in the best way that you can, right?
Yeah.
So when you find a little bit of everything, like, not everything, but you find a way to keep everything you like and keep things away that you don't like, that usually leads to some sort of a balance, you know?
Yeah.
But I do get angry at the word still.
I think the part that is just is also realizing it's work. Mm-hmm. Like, at the end of the day, it's de-stressing as work. Because we are taught... Oh, this is also... I want to bring this back to social media because we're talking about it for a second. But social media actually teaches you how to worry even more because it's not even... You don't apply cream anymore. You have to apply it in a certain way. Mm. And it has to have the certain ingredients and all this. Like, all this stuff that we worry about, like, even with food, it's really important to be conscious of all these things, but also we are so, like... flooded with information, and then you don't know what the right way is, so you worry constantly.
I feel like I also become like slightly hypersensitive to things, you know, in a way of like I used to not really care, for example, skin routine, let's say that, right? But then once you watch like a few videos of like people doing a certain skin routine, then you're like, oh, maybe I broke out that 1 month because I didn't apply my cream correctly, or maybe I need to get a new product or something. And then you become this like, you kind of start taking in information more and more. So next time I'll hear someone talk about their skincare, I'll like be more attentive, and it kind of makes you perceive more stimulus, which I feel like is even worse for your stress, you know?
Yes. And it's a lot of like, this is the other thing, is like, I think now that we have the internet, we try to like self-navigate a lot. Like, we'll be like, oh, I'm an expert on skincare because I've watched 100 videos. You're not an expert on skincare. Like, you aren't. You can watch as many videos as you like. But I remember I went to, like, a professional. And, like, the things they said was so, like, I thought I knew so much, and then they were like, okay.
Yeah, I think we have to remember that social media is people just like you saying whatever they want, and you have no way of knowing whether they're right or not, and yeah. then we take it for granted, yeah. even though essentially you're saying that you're an expert because you got taught on YouTube. Well, people on YouTube are not experts who got taught by people who are not experts, and yeah. it just, you know, it keeps on going. So no
we don't agree stop with that. stop it while you're at it,
just finish. I want to know about your stress coping mechanisms.
Okay. Healthy ones or unhealthy ones?
Let's talk about the unhealthy ones and then finish with the healthy ones.
Okay, unhealthy is definitely skin picking. Chewing the inside of my mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Eating. I love binging,
mm-hmm.
for sure. And also like binging on TV shows for sure. You know what happens when I'm stressed? I have two modes. One is my mind goes super fast, and then I have the other one that is I can't do anything. Like, I literally sit like in the library and I'll go home after 40 minutes and mm-hmm. lay in my back, on my back in my bed.
Yeah, that sounds right.
But it's just like I become so numb. It's not an active... This is the thing. It goes back, but it's not a present rest. It's a rest because you can't handle anything. But it's not like you're making this conscious decision. It's more like your body's taking over.
Yeah.
I don't know if that makes
sense. You're kind of giving in. And you're kind of just like, I can't do it anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. And then the healthy things that I've been trying to do well is, again, like meditation. Like, I'm going to plug her again just so the people know. But her name is Marissa Peer, and if you put in guided meditation on Spotify and then Marissa Peer, she should show up. And she just sounds like such a therapist. Like, she has such a therapist voice. So I would definitely recommend her.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've been trying to also just do a lot of like research on it. Like, I think that is if you educate yourself on it, and this is also very dangerous. I don't know how you feel about this, especially being in that field, but there's also little hope sometimes when you realize how bad it is. You feel like, oh shit, this is overwhelming. And I always try to find something positive out of it though.
See, I can offer a counter view to make it more positive.
Okay.
Because it is very easy to be like, yes, stress has so many risk factors and stress is related to so many diseases and so on and so on.
Yeah.
But the positive is that you can avoid so many diseases via solving your stress,
yeah.
or by reducing your stress, right? Mm-hmm. So that means if you're just able to find these coping mechanisms and to recognize your stress, you're able to avoid literally physical symptoms,
yeah.
right? And one thing, the reason also I asked you about yours, because I was wondering, now I have a question.
I love that.
Yeah. I'm taking over. This is my podcast now.
No, literally, it's yours now.
But one thing that I've been thinking about also, I think it's really important to recognize stress, recognize your coping mechanisms, right? Because mm-hmm. I'm thinking like now that the people that are listening, I feel like when I listen to podcasts, I usually try to integrate them into my life. And yeah. it's really nice when they, you know, when someone on the podcast says the same thing as I'm doing, right?
Yeah.
Because it makes you recognize your life more. And it makes yes. you, like, think about it. So I think a big part of stress is also recognition.
I think so, too. If you don't see the ghost, how are you going
to
deal with it?
Exactly. And we're not saying it's going to be easy to deal with once you see it. But at
Holy
least you
shit,
know,
it's hard.
Exactly. But at least you know what you're chasing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, at least you know that this is what I need to do. Or it's not as scary once you realize what stress is.
Yeah.
You know?
I think so, too.
Now, at least, I feel like it's kind of normal. Like, you walk into your uni or whatever, your work, during a stressful period, like the midterms.
Yeah.
You ask people, how are you? Everyone's like, I'm tired, I'm stressed, right?
And but it's so normal.
It's normal, right?
They've accepted that already.
Yeah. Or, like, the funniest thing I find is, like, whenever people say, like, I'm fine, and then they ask me, how I'm like, oh, I'm stressed, man. And then they're like, actually, like, I'm so stressed as well, but, otherwise, I'm fine. And I'm like... What do you mean?
Otherwise, you're fine. Like,
exactly.
That's like taking over your whole your mentality and your body.
So, like, people, I feel like people very often invalidate their stress because it's so normalized.
Yeah.
You know? And then if you're invalidating your stress, that means you're not dealing with it at all, which means it's just going to take over and you won't even realize, you know? So, recognition. Wow.
Should we do like the typical like outro? Like, thank you so much.
Yes.
Coming.
Also, I wanted to tell everyone that I've been trying out this super soothing voice for this podcast. It got lost at some places, but I know that you're all stressed. So I'm going to try my best to end this in a very, very soothing voice.
Oh, that's sexy. Honestly. No, just, I think take a deep breath, recognize that you're stressed. Don't think it's normal.
Yeah.
And find ways, and you have to do that actively. It's not going to go away just by itself, unfortunately. No. Yeah. But it is work. But it is work that is so important for you. It's going to help you change the way you perceive stress. Because it's never going to go away. Not in this day and age.
Never.
I feel like the world is even getting crappier by the day. So
yeah. I mean, you can try to run from it, but there's no point.
Yeah.
Because you're going to be running from part of your life. Yeah. So you might as well just recognize it. And try to break your cycle.
Yeah.
Try to break your stress cycle. And then avoid all these terrible diseases that are going to come hunt you down if you don't stop stressing. Okay, I don't mean to stress you out even more now. But, yeah.
No, I think that's important. But thank you for sharing and coming here. Like, I know you're stressed right now. Like,
I am. Okay, recognition moment. I am very stressed. But I am dealing with it. And this podcast has actually made me less stressed.
Right?
Right. So thank you for having me.
You're totally
my new coping mechanism.
Yeah. No, honestly, this is what I do. But yeah, I'll see you guys on the next one.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey, that was good.
That was fun.